So my brothers and sisters, rejoice always. That's the message of this Sunday and the whole week, the third week of Advent. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks. This is the will of God for you and me, for each one of us. It is God, what God wants us to be people of joy, and always. Should we understand these words of Paul literally, or it is just a kind of parable, or is a symbolic language? So let me read to you few passages from other parts of the New Testament, from letters of Paul or Peter. So the same Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, to Christians living in Colossae, he wrote, "I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church." Paul speaks about his joy in his suffering. The same Paul to the Romans, he writes, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." Again, Paul speaks about his joy in suffering. Now, Peter, in his first letter, says, "But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." So Peter speaks about the same things. Rejoice even in suffering. So rejoice in good time and in so-called bad time. In the Acts of the Apostles, St. Luke says about the disciples of Jesus in the first years after his resurrection. They lived in Jerusalem and they were not favored by the authority of Jerusalem. They were persecuted. And so there was also once John and Peter, that they were arrested, trialed, and then they were flogged. They were punished. And it is what Luke speaks about them. "Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus." So the language of Paul, "rejoice always," is not a symbolic language. Literally, he wants us, the followers of Jesus, to be people of joy and to rejoice always. We can ask a question. In our case, today, is it possible? Is it sensible? In this time of pandemic, in this kind of chaos that we experience, or we are experiencing now in the whole world, do we have reason to rejoice? And yes, it is possible. It is possible. When we again analyze all the passages I just read, we see that Paul, Peter, John, they had a reason for that joy. Like Peter rejoiced because he shared his suffering with Jesus Christ. He was united with Jesus Christ in his suffering. Paul says that he rejoiced in suffering because in this way he was growing spiritually through the suffering. They all saw some benefits coming from suffering. In the gospel, we heard about John the Baptist. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 3, we have a very interesting passage about John. It was not included in today's reading, gospel reading. So John's disciples come to John. John is at the River Jordan baptizing people. And they come to John with the news. John, the other man, they spoke about Jesus, of whom you gave testimony, is baptizing on the other side of the River Jordan. And you know, everybody's going to him. He is becoming more popular than you are. You are losing popularity. You are losing people. Everybody's going to that other man, to Jesus. And it is what John, it is how John replied to that news. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. For this reason, my joy has been fulfilled. My joy is full. He must increase, but I must decrease. So John, when he sees that the glory of Christ, the Messiah, grows, is more and more recognized, and he's forgotten, he's happy. Because that is his desire. He wants Christ to truly grow. He wants everybody to come to know the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, and surrender their lives to him. And that is his happiness, that is his joy. So he's not worried about losing popularity, about losing people, about people going to Jesus and leaving him out, leaving him alone behind. He's not worrying about all of that. So to the question, is it possible to rejoice always? The answer is yes, my brethren, but provided that we have a deeper meaning in life, and that meaning is our union with God. Our meaning in life is that the glory of God will be truly revealed. Or we can put it in this way. That the prayer, the first three petitions of our Father will be revealed, will be fulfilled. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and your kingdom come, and your will be done. When this is the purpose of our lives and the meaning of our lives, then we will rejoice always, like Paul, Peter, Andrew, John, and all other saints. In 1902, in a small village in the south of France, a girl was born. born. Her name was Martha. Martha Robown. When she was 16 years old, the first symptoms of encephalitis appeared. And then gradually, this young girl was losing power in her hands, her arms, her legs. He was getting slowly paralyzed. Later on, he was completely paralyzed. He lost his sight as the effect of that illness. Then he lost the ability to eat and to drink and to swallow anything. So she was blind, couldn't eat, couldn't drink, couldn't sleep, and she was paralyzed. For about 63 years, she lived in this condition, in suffering. She lived in a dark room. The windows were always closed, the curtains were closed because the sunlight would hurt her eyes, even though she was blind. What is the future of that young girl? From human perspective, from the outside, we could say her life was meaningless. Or we could say also her life had no so-called quality. But let us listen what she says in her diary. My real joy on my sickbed is profound, lasting, because it is divine. I reflect upon the road I have traveled since the beginning of my illness, and from this reflection emerges only love and gratitude towards God, who is so merciful and so good. That's the word. That's the words of a blind, paralyzed young girl. I mean, when she was, wrote these words, she was much older. But the woman who lived in suffering for about 63 years, Martha Robown, a French mystic, when she was about 23 years old, she surrendered her life to God completely. And then communion with God was growing and growing. And because of that union with God and living for God, she was able to say these words, my joy is profound because it is divine. And there is only left to me love, gratitude, and trust. My dear brethren, Christmas is approaching. The purpose of Christmas, the same as purpose of every Holy Mass, every prayer, is that our lives will be completely united with the life of Jesus. That like the saints, we will surrender ourselves to him completely. And then the words of Paul, rejoice always, will see it, will be true also in our lives. Let us pray, my dear brethren, for that grace to unite ourselves and to let Jesus unite himself to us completely. Let us pray for the grace to surrender our lives to him so that the words of the gospel will be fulfilled in our lives here and now. That like that Martha Robown, we will become a channel of grace to all who come to see us. Just one more thing about the life of Saint Martha Robin. It's about 100,000 people came to see her into this obscure village, this dark room, to see her or to meet her, to get consolation from that suffering woman, to get direction in their lives. Even great theologians, bishops, were coming to that poor woman, blind, paralyzed, to get some counsel, consolation, comfort. It is what God can do in our lives if we surrender ourselves to Him. Let us pray to Our Lady, who is the model of that surrender, to obtain for us that grace. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.